Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Well, I think you're familiar with the history of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. As you know, Eve took of the forbidden fruit and gave to her husband Adam, and he ate it. And they cut themselves off from God. Now, every problem that we see in the world today originated in that incident in the Garden of Eden. I mean, just think about that. I mean, we see so many problems on the earth today, and maybe we experience some of them as well. And they're very hard. Diseases, pollution, war, just the misery and poverty and crime. The list is almost endless, it seems. And it all originates with the wrong decision that Adam and Eve made. You know, Adam made a choice. He chose to go it alone without God. And society today is the result of going it alone without God. Now, God allotted mankind 6,000 years to produce the fruits of Satan's way of life. You know, if ever in the future someone has the idea that maybe there's a different way as opposed to God's way, something that would maybe be a better way of doing things, all we'll have to do is look back at this past 6,000 years of man's history and look at the results of it, and we'll know, and we'll be able to point to very specific events and say, look at where it ended. Look at the end result. Look at what happens when people don't obey God. The proof is all around us that Satan's way, the get way, doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Now, just consider, for example, the bitter state of politics. And here in the United States in particular, you know, we just see this continual division and bitterness. People screaming at each other, hating each other. And there's a very specific place where that spirit comes from. Notice this in Ephesians 2. We'll look at a few passages today. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get that out and look at these with me. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." So here God's people are being addressed because it says in times past. So, of course, these people had repented. God's people had repented. But the world, which is the majority of mankind, still does walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Satan broadcasts an attitude of disobedience, of hostility against government. He broadcasts competition, greed, and covetousness. And we see that spirit growing today. Again, you could look at the example of politics, but there's a lot of things we could look at. That attitude that's being broadcast, disobedience, hostility against government, competition, greed, and covetousness. Humans have those feelings and have those emotional poles. And Satan is the one that broadcasts those. That's his spirit. It's his attitude. Now notice how mankind's ways under the invisible sway of Satan are summed up. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 shows us this. Man, of course, is cut off from God today for the most part because Adam rebelled. His wife was deceived, but Adam made the choice to go along and follow her and reject God. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." When we reject God's law and revelation, all we have left is what seems right to us. It looks good. It seems right. You know, it seems like the way we should go. But again, it ends in death. And why? Well, because every human being tuned into Satan's broadcast, if they're not fighting against that and conquering it with the help of God's Spirit, every human has an inherently selfish pull. And so what seems right to one is going to be in conflict with what seems right to another. And they're going to be competing. And the result is it's death ultimately. I mean, we see that with wars. Why do wars happen? Well, two groups of people. One thinks one way is right, another thinks another way is right. And so war is the inevitable result. It brings death. But notice it doesn't say it brings instant death. Sometimes it does, but not always. You know, when Adam and Eve went the wrong way, they didn't die instantly, but they did die. It does end in death if we go the wrong way and, of course, don't repent. Now, God has called only a very few over the 6,000 years of mankind's history. There have not been very many people that God has called and worked with. And if that's something you haven't heard about before, that could be pretty shocking because you look around at different religious groups and there's a lot of people in them. But God's not working with them. Notice this quote. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence course, and it's free at thetrumpet.com. And if you're not enrolled, please enroll and take that course. It's really eye-opening. It says, only Abel, Enoch, and Noah are recorded as having turned to God's way during the first 1,900 or so years. That's not a lot of people. Now, maybe there were a few more, but these are the ones that are recorded. Not very many. After the flood, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and Joseph lived God's way, but God never promised spiritual salvation to the nation of Israel in the days of Moses. If they would have obeyed his government, God promised them national wealth, greatness, and power, but not eternal life. So even ancient Israel didn't have the opportunity to gain salvation. They didn't have the opportunity to receive God's Spirit. That wasn't being offered to them. It was only material blessings were being offered to them under that old covenant. The quote continues and says, the terrible state of this present evil world is the end result of mankind living by Satan's way of get instead of God's way of give. It is traceable back to the decision of our first parents, Adam and Eve. I mean, look at that. The society we see today, and we should take a good look at it if we can stomach it, because there's a lot of evil out there. And, of course, we're getting very close to the return of Christ, and what we see is, or all around us, the end result of mankind living by Satan's way of get instead of God's way of give. The end result is around us. We see the fruits of it. And as Christ said in Matthew 24, if he didn't return, if Christ didn't return and stop it, stop man doing what seems right in his own eyes, that there would be no flesh saved alive because of the weaponry that's out there, which is prophesied to be used. But Christ said he would return and stop it, thankfully. But again, this is all because mankind is doing what seems right to him. And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And God's letting it go this way to teach mankind some lessons. I mean, we're making mistakes, and we're going to have to learn from those. It has to get to the point that Christ talked about in Matthew 24. Before people will see that what seemed right to them didn't work. You know, it seemed right, but how did it end? And, of course, we can look at that in our own personal lives today. Sometimes we can do what seems right to us, but if it's not according to God's word, the end result's not going to be positive. There's a way that seems right to man, but then there is a way that is right, and that's God's law. The correspondence course says, so God has permitted Satan to exercise dominion over the earth for 6,000 years. For six 1,000-year days, Satan has been allowed to deceive mankind and foment hostility toward God and his way of give. But the seventh 1,000-year day is when Satan will be bound and prohibited from misleading mankind. So the millennium time period is coming right after Christ's return. And again, it's typified by the seven-day week, the seventh day being the Sabbath, each day representing 1,000 years of God's plan. 6,000 years, man goes his own way. That seventh day, pictured by the Sabbath, is 1,000 years of the rule of Christ on this earth. So as Satan's time of rule on this earth winds down, thankfully it is winding down, we have to be very vigilant against our adversary. I mean, Satan is on the attack. He knows his time is short. Notice the Bible tells us this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and just to interject there, he's everybody's adversary. You know, Satan isn't friends with anybody. He is the adversary of everyone. He hates mankind. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So in other words, he's got his eyes open, and he's looking about to see whom he can destroy. You know, who is going to give him a foothold in their lives? Who's going to let some sin in? And then he comes in full force and causes a great destruction. So we have to be very vigilant. We have to be very sober. And again, this is addressing God's people because the world, again, is under Satan's sway already. But if you're one that God is working with specifically and calling out, you have to really be sober and be vigilant because you can fight back against Satan's deceptions and conquer him. And so he's really, really wanting to destroy God's people. Notice Ephesians 6 and verse 12, another very strong admonition here. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Those are the things that we're battling against. We're battling against Satan and his demons, these spiritual forces, this wickedness in high places. It's not other people. And so if you've ever wrestled or watched a wrestling match, you know that if one person lets down, the other will take an immediate advantage and go for the pin. It's all about leverage. Wrestling is about trying to get the advantage over your opponent, get them off balance, to get the leverage on them, and to be able to ultimately pin them. Satan wants to get us off balance. He wants to gain the advantage on us spiritually. So it's a great analogy that's being used here in terms of wrestling, because wrestling is very much this continual sort of pushing and trying to get the other off balance. And so Satan's trying to get us off balance, and we have to be, as we just read about there in 1 Peter 5, we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard. You know, if you're in a wrestling match and you're not vigilant and you're not taking it seriously, you wouldn't do well because your opponent would win pretty easily. So we have to be very, very much sober and vigilant, as 1 Peter says. The correspondence course says, "No person is compelled to respond to and obey these impulses from Satan." You know, so again, Satan does broadcast. We read about that earlier. But we don't have to follow his broadcasts. But most people do. The quote continues and says, "The devil has no power to force anyone to think or do wrong." You know, there's an expression that sometimes people have used over the years. I haven't heard it as much lately, but, you know, somebody would do something bad and they'd sort of make a joke about it, say, "Oh, the devil made me do it." You know, they sort of made that, I guess, as a bit of a joke. But nobody's compelled to do anything by Satan. No one's forced into it. If we let our guard down, though, then Satan will get the advantage over us. But that's up to us. We have our choice in that, whether we let our guard down or we don't. The quote continues and says, "The unsuspecting automatically do so without realizing what is taking place in their minds." They automatically give in to the impulses of Satan because they don't realize what's happening. It's just natural to them. When we talk about human nature, carnal human nature, it's really Satan's nature that's broadcast into the minds of mankind and since birth. And so people just think it's natural, you know, to be selfish and self-centered and competitive and all those different emotions and feelings and impulses, because we're so used to them. They're broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're just used to it and think that that's just how we should think. That's the normal way to think. But God, through his word, shows us that, no, there's a way that seems right to man, and that's Satan's broadcast, but it ends in death. We don't have to think that way. Satan can't make us think that way. But if we're unsuspecting and we don't stay sober and vigilant, we will just go the direction that Satan is broadcasting. The quote says, "Most people just drift along, habitually responding to emotions and impulses, which are often expressed in a sinful way." I always think about this in terms of driving down the road and, you know, somebody cuts somebody else off in traffic and, you know, then the person gets mad and It's just a reaction, you know, to something that they don't like. And a person can go from being very calm and in a calm state to being very angry and upset very quickly because the emotion, the impulse is that somebody took advantage of me or got the better of me or whatever can happen. And we've probably, I mean, certainly we've all been in situations like that at times. And so if we're not paying attention to what's happening in our minds, as this quote says, we can just respond to these emotions and impulses and often express them in a sinful way. So we have to be very careful, sober and vigilant, and not just doing what seems right to us, but obeying the law of God. Notice Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 here. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." So in other words, there's some fruits that come from going Satan's way, and they're not good ones. Here they are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So again, there is room for repentance, of course. But if a person is not repenting of these sins and just keeps going on in them and doesn't want to repent, then they won't be in the kingdom of God. They have to be repenting and changing from these. And of course, God calls people in his time and opens their mind up to the fact that they do need to repent. And so people then need to take the initiative and do so. But again, look at the fruits here. These are the fruits of the flesh, the way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, adultery can seem right to a person. Seems like something they might want to do, or fornication, or having hatred towards somebody, wrath or strife. You know, they may feel justified, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, all of these things. They can seem right at the time to a person, or they can seem like the thing that they want to do, but those that do them won't be in the kingdom of God. And the alternative to being in the kingdom of God is death. It is death. The correspondence course says conversion does not shield you from Satan's wavelength. So if you are baptized into the body of Christ and you have God's Spirit and you're working to grow and overcome, or you're somewhere in that process, that doesn't mean that automatically Satan no longer can broadcast to your mind or to my mind. It doesn't automatically shut that off. The quote continues, though, and says, Satan continues to broadcast the attitudes of his nature to our minds and works through others to subvert our life in Christ. When Jesus spoke of overcoming, he referred to overcoming the ways of Satan, which are contrary to God's ways. Those who have turned from Satan's way are to be on guard against him, as we just read about earlier there, and must fight to overcome his subtle urgings and remain true to God's way. So it's still a constant battle. It's still a wrestling match. There is still a way that seems right to man, to the carnal mind, and we have to conquer that with the power of God's Spirit and obey God and follow God's way. We are told to do this here in James 4 and verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." See, Satan doesn't have power over us unless we get into sin. And then he does have power. But as it says there, submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. He won't be around, but that doesn't mean he'll stay gone. I mean, he comes back. He tries again. But we have to be battling him. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Let's look at a few of these scriptures here. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And that's where the strength is. You know, we're not going to humanly muster up the strength to defeat Satan. We cannot do that. We don't have the strength. But we are strong in the Lord. We are strong with God's Spirit, with Christ coming in our flesh through the power of his Spirit living in us, having the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians 2 and verse 5. That's where our strength is. And then it gets into some more specifics here. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So Satan is going to continue to attack, and we are either going to stand or we're going to fall. It's going to be one or the other. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the battle, you see, it's in our minds. And we did read that passage a little earlier, but again, the battle is in our minds. That's where the battle's taking place. You know, and again, sometimes that's a little bit different when we think about it, because if we had a physical confrontation, we'd be on high alert. You know, if we said, oh, that person's coming this way and there's going to be a confrontation, I better be ready. You know, we'd be on high alert. The fight or flight would kick in, that we have that response. But when the battle's in the mind, well, sometimes we can take that too casually and not be on guard like we need to be in our minds. And verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," we have to put some work in here. We have to have done all and work hard to stand. Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness," truth and righteousness. Verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In other words, doing God's work. We'll get into some of these specifically here in a minute. And then verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Faith is so important. It's so vital. The faith of Christ. So important to our battle. The correspondence course explains this a little more. It says, "Truth refers to the inspired word of God, the first piece in the Christian spiritual armor." So we need to know what God's word says and live by every word of it, like this show talks about. The breastplate of righteousness is obedience to God's commandments. You can look at Psalms 119 and verse 172. The preparation of the gospel of peace is supporting the proclamation of the message of the coming kingdom of God, supporting God's work. The shield of faith refers to the faith of Jesus Christ, which can be within us. Galatians 2 and verse 20 and Philippians 3, 9, not just to our own human faith. So human faith isn't enough. We need the faith of Christ. And of course, we look at the example of how Christ lived and how he conquered, and he never sinned, and he was faithful all the way till death, and he did it for us. That was done through faith. The miracles that he worked, it was done through faith. And so that's the type of faith we need. And this faith is God's gift imparted by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22, you could look at that if you want. You know, we can't work it up. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to have a lot of faith now. I'm going to have the faith of Christ starting now. You know, we need to pray for it and ask for God to give it to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. It is this faith, the quote continues, Christ's faith put within us that will enable us to conquer and overcome Satan and sin. The helmet of salvation that we read about, that's the knowledge of what salvation is, what it involves, the purpose of life, the true goal and potential destiny of mankind, becoming divine members of the family of God. How much do you know about that? How much do I know about that? And how much of that is part of my daily thinking? It's very important. The sword of the Spirit refers to the written word of God, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It is the Christian's only offensive weapon in fighting against the wiles of the devil. The sword, of course, is something you'd go on the offensive with. And that is the word of God. We can look back at Matthew 4 and see how Christ defeated Satan. And he used the sword, didn't he? He used the word of God perfectly. To rightly use this weapon in waging a winning battle against the crafty rulers of darkness, we must study the Bible and learn God's will and his promises. The course continues. So we need to be into our Bibles. What Paul finally mentions in withstanding the attacks of Satan is prayer. Christians are to draw close to God in persevering prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says that. And praying for God's church, its work and its ministers, for all of God's people and for themselves too. I mean, we need to pray for all of these things. When we do this, we're not going the way that seems right to man. We're going God's way. and that way ends in eternal life. This is the way to overcome Satan and force him to flee. Take on this whole armor of God. This is the perfect strategy for defeating the devil's army of demons. Satan has a strategy to destroy you. Have you ever thought about that? You personally? Me personally? He's got a plan. He's watched us. He knows our strengths, our weaknesses, where we're vulnerable. He has a plan. He has some time to work out that plan. Not much time, but he has some. Well, what about us? Do we have a strategy to defeat him? Well, it's laid out for us here. I mean, we have read about it. We've read about taking on the whole armor of God. That is the strategy that God gives us. And we see that in Ephesians 6 here as we're looking at. And so again, we can't, when we're trying to defeat Satan, we can't say, well, I'm going to do it in the way that seems right to me. We have to do it in the way that God shows us. That's the important thing. And if we diligently follow this formula, then we're going to be successful in overcoming Satan and his demons. It's guaranteed. And so again, when we look at society today, people are so often just doing what seems right to them, and we may struggle with that in our own lives too. But we want to remember that the way that seems right to man ends in death. The way that God shows us to live ends in eternal life, and it just keeps going and going. It doesn't end in that sense. It continues on. But we need to follow God's formula for conquering Satan. Satan's trying to conquer us, but here in Ephesians 6, we have a tremendous formula for defeating Satan and living according to God's word. That's the way that continues on into eternal life. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. If you'd like to learn more about some of what we talked about today, again, please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's free at thetrumpet.com. And also a great book, How to Be an Overcomer, so important to read in our battle to conquer Satan and to follow God. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.